Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 184, Anime Con Fatigue Syndrome.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing our hearts and for Boston, this way comes a flavor. And everyone to write your ass, big bombs and touch me no more in the world. It's time for Boston, for Boston, our war is over.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck, and sadly, Blonick is a little bit under the weather, so he's not here on today's episode. But I do have some pretty awesome special guests joining me today. First off, you might have heard her on one of our previous shows where we talked anime and ponies. From Scarlet Rhapsody, Scarlet Pretty Cure.
Hey guys, what's up? It is blazing out here in Boston today. Windows are up.
Mine are too. And also, another person that hasn't been on our regular show, but you might have heard his voice on the Kari Wahlgren interview that I posted up, from Wicked Anime, please welcome Andrew Fleming.
Hello, hello. How's it going, everybody? I am not as hot because I am kind of from Florida for 5 years, but this is really nice to me.
you're just rubbing it in, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So, Wicked Anime, is it based out of Boston?
It is. It is very based out of Boston. That's where we kind of coined the name, me and my brother. We use the Wicked thing because it's a very New England thing to do.
Right, the whole Wicked Pissa thing.
Yeah, exactly. We did start kind of in Florida, where Anime Boston 2012 was where Wicked Anime was kind of born. Okay. with the interview things for there. But that was before we were official press. And then we kind of kicked off the review thing afterwards, so that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. That sounds neat. That Anime Boston 2012, I had to miss out on that because PAX East was that weekend.
Yep.
So it was like, I have to choose between going to one of these two conventions, and I did send a couple people to Anime Boston, but I wasn't able to attend it that year.
Yeah, Jonathan and I have decided that pretty much everything Anime Boston takes priority. I don't know. It's kind of like our home base kind of convention.
Yeah, that's understandable. So I figured we would talk Anime Boston 2013, as considering that it's been a week since it's been over. Let me ask you, when did the fatigue kick in for both of you?
You want me to go first?
Fatigue, that's a very good question. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man. So I came into Anime Boston sick.
Yikes.
So in the case of slowly getting this was the very first year of Anime Boston that I actually slowly got better going through. So I came in sick the first day, and Jonathan and I were just going nuts trying to, because Jonathan had no voice and we had a panel on Saturday. So we were basically doing every single remedy that we could on Thursday, Friday, whatever, to just try to remedy our voices so that we would, you know, we could lose it on Sunday. That would be fine. But, oh man, Sunday we were tired again though. Like Saturday was like the adrenaline kick, and then Sunday was, we're done.
Yeah, for me, it was like as soon as I got home, like the fatigue didn't kick in until that night, because I'd been going on for like 5 hours of sleep that entire weekend. But it was that whole energy of being at that convention that was keeping me going and going and going. And then when I finally got home and I had everything put away, everything all nicely tucked in and such, and I just laid in bed thinking it was going to take me a while to sleep. I was just like out in like 5 minutes. And I woke up like noon the next day.
Oh, man, I wish I could. Actually, because when I came home on Sunday, that's when we actually re-recorded our post-con episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast with an unusual group of people. It was the people we went to the con with, and not our normal people. excuse me.
I still see you sick a bit.
No, yeah, I know. I'm still recovering a little bit. So we recorded that one, and then the day after we had like one day off, and then I went right back to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was
that happened to me at PAX East this past year.
Yeah. Oh,
how about you, Scarlett?
Okay, now this is going to sound really cray cray. So essentially, it's high travel season at the place where I work. So I went into Anime Boston day zero, coming off just getting out of work. But let me just backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had some business to take care of in Los Angeles, so I took a red-eye flight into Thursday, and from my red-eye flight, go straight into work a full 8-hour day, take the commuter rail to the Marriott, and then I don't know how I did it, but I managed to do it. I don't really get a lot of bad jet lag, because as far as I know, con time is its own kind of time zone kind of thing. It doesn't adhere to the Eastern Standard Time. But then what was even more crazy was I had to help a friend unpack, pack all her dealer's room stuff, and she was staying at my apartment. She's from LA. We go way back. So I just let her stay at my apartment, and she's a vendor, and she has like these three boxes of cosplay wigs that she needs to take back to the airport. So I remember waking up at 4 a.m. just helping her load everything into the taxi, and then like going back to sleep until I would say like noon-ish or so. And then the very next day, go back to work half a day to go to Salt Lake City for work again. So that was my adventurous 2 weeks.
Wow.
I don't know how I did it, but I did.
So why were you in Vegas?
I'm back in Boston. No, I wasn't in Vegas. I was in Salt Lake City. That was like for work, so.
Oh, okay.
But I did enjoy Anime Boston, though Vegas does sound nice. This is my first time. Ran two panels, a Sailor Moon one and a 90s-themed panel. Both went great. I was shout-outs to everyone who attended. It really means a lot to me that you guys showed up and that you guys totally care about Sailor Moon and shoujo anime of the 1990s. Love you guys!
Absolutely. It's something that a lot of people... It's what helped build the anime community in the first place. Shows like Sailor Moon, and I'm even going so back as like Urusei Yatsuru. Shows like that helped build the anime community.
Yeah, I was walking around the convention with a Sailor Mercury pin on my press badge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I love Sailor Mercury. That's my favorite scout.
We had this conversation. I loved Sailor Venus as a kid.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting you mentioned that you're a Sailor Mercury fanboy, because a good friend of mine, I made her Eternal Sailor Mercury cosplay at the con, and she was wondering, like, where are the other Mercury cosplayers? Mercury needs more love. But I know it's like a lot of guys tend to gravitate towards Sailor Mercury, then girls tend to gravitate towards cosplaying Sailor Mercury. Mm-hmm. Observations.
Yes. Now, speaking of cosplay, Scarlett, I know you are the cosplay expert. Did anything this year stand out for you when it comes to what people dressed up as?
Well, Masquerade, which is the big cosplay contest that takes place on Saturday, it was huge. The competition was really, really really awesome. So you had like your walk-ons go on first. You had like full armored Magic Knight Rare. And then you had, there was these two cosplayers. I wasn't quite sure what they were from. They looked very Warcraft-esque, but they're from a game called Inferno. And they had like all these great armor, this chainmail. There was this, the gal, she was like wearing like this mermaid type skirt, and she had like skulls on it, and looked totally aflame. I'm like, oh my god, I just totally love this design. And then there was just like just so many amazing things. There's like a full Sword Art Online cosplay group there, and one of my personal favorites, because I have a little bit of a 90s bias, was a Tenchi and a Ryoko cosplay couple that entered
that.
Into Masquerade.
That looked great, actually. I was very surprised at how detailed those were.
And if you know anything about Ryoko's hair, it's like full on like light blue, like spikes all over the place, 90s. Anime hair.
Yep.
And well, then she had like this corset that was very well made. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have like weird vision. That's why I wear like glasses to help me see. But I guess it's a matter of perspective. But
okay.
Tenchi, he had like the full on warrior paint going on.
Yep.
And like it was, I don't know. Like I was just so happy. Like, Tenchi, this is awesome.
The one that really
like, stood out. Look at in Disneyland.
The one that really stood out for me, it was one of the cross players. He had dressed up as, what was her name, from Paradise Kiss? He had, like, the entire gown.
Hold on. I know who you're talking about. I believe it's Yukari. And are you talking about the blue gown that's had, like, all the rhinestones on it?
The rhinestones and the roses. Yes, Yukari, a.k.a. Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, that was a dude. I did not know that.
You know what? Phil, the issues guy said the exact same thing at, like after we interviewed him. It was like, that was a dude? But yeah, he was fantastic. He got every single detail down with that cosplay. It was a beautiful gown.
Nice.
And so, I've known so many like other gals who attempted that dress, and they have like their own different interpretations of it. And this one just really stands out because I just love how they did all the Swarovski crystals on, and like it was just so awesome. Like, I want to make this, but I'm broke.
Yeah, but this one looked like it would have actually cost like $2,000 if they were to sell this in a store. That's how
nice.
Amazing it looked.
Yeah.
But how about definitely. You, Andrew? Yeah, how about you, Andrew? Was there any cosplay this year that really stood out for you?
Oh, absolutely. There was I don't play League of Legends at all. Like, absolutely zero League of Legends. It just doesn't interest me, and nothing like that. But there were these four people, League of Legends cosplayers. I actually think that they had a booth in the Artist Alley, maybe. I saw them there once or twice. But I have friends who do League of Legends, and holy cow, I saw these cosplays. It was four of them. Two Rivens, one guy who had like a giant stone armor, and then a fourth girl. I don't know which character she was, but you could tell they put some work into these costumes. They looked spot on, exactly like the characters in the rock armor. It was hand-painted, full like suit of armor made of rock. It was absolutely incredibly handy.
Oh my god, I think I was in the elevator with that guy.
Seriously?
Seriously. And I turned to him and said, "Hey, that looks nice. It looks like real charcoal." And he goes, "Oh, it's supposed to be rock, but thanks, I guess." But yeah, I know which guys you're talking about. Though that's the thing about like not just Anime Boston, but the conventions in general. You get so many people who come in and pull off these amazing costumes. And, you know, I think I also speak for Scarlett as well when I say that there's such a beautiful attention to detail that you see these people put into compared to probably other conventions out there.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's actually pretty incredible because I have a couple of my friends that we actually, the last episode of our podcast that we did our cosplay episode, our friend Dana, who we call the cardboard cosplayer on, she's very, very, very handy with using cardboard and sewing things together and getting injured among making cosplays. She went as Sakura from Tsubasa this year.
Ooh.
And she made, like, she made the big staff for it, and it, like, with all the intricate details of the curvature and the top and, like, the crowning of it, it was pretty incredible. But she also made the whole the dress and the corset that went along with it. It was pretty awesome. So she tells us all the stories of all the people that she talks to as well, because it's her hobby to make cosplays. And it's really incredible all the things that she's seen as well and knows how to do.
Yeah. And what about you, Scarlett?
So I also entered Masquerade this year. I entered Shadow Yukiko from Persona. And what I do like about this Masquerade is you can have video in the background, and the stage had a really nice setup. Like, I've been doing cons for like almost 10 years, and Anime Boston has a really nice stage setup. Like, you have like all these professional kind of lightings. You have like two HD screens. And mm-hmm. even though I didn't place, it was just really awesome being on that stage, just like hearing the music that I had just like really blare out. It's like, I just love the acoustics of just that thrill of just being on stage. That was fun too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What I also like about Masquerade is they had like a pre-show kind of thing going on where you had like this whole choose your own adventure.
Oh, that was fun. The audience.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Like, you go to the beer dealer. Which color beer do you pick?
Yeah, yep.
I liked how every one of them did end in death, though.
Now, but, see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you check out the AMV winners? Because they had the AMV winners at halftime. Yes.
I've got to say, I was disappointed that about the best of 20, the winner was that Bleach one. Because
the Bleach Pokemon one, yeah.
I kind of disqualified that one because it was another anime to another anime theme song. Plus, I didn't think it was edited that great.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. I mean, I thought that was a weird choice for, you know, best of show kind of a thing. For kind of the same reasons that you did, where it's just like, you know, anime on top of anime, talking about Hollows and making them Pokemon. I mean, it was good. Definitely for what they were trying to go for, but best of show, I'm not sure.
No, I disagree.
It was a funny AMV best of show. This is something I would probably just click onto YouTube just to show friends, like, hey guys, check this out, and that'd be the end of that. But I would have to say, like, it's not the video that I remember if you're going to ask me about Anime Boston 2013 AMV winners, because they had it was like a mashup of all these different Ghibli samurai themed anime to a Vanessa Mae song, and it was done so beautifully. One I like, which I wanted to like just shed a tear and I just wanted to cry my eyes out, was the one done to Wolf's Children.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa.
I'm so
that's
glad
how you
brought
do
that
the
one
drama.
Because because me personally, I did not watch any of it. I seriously like opened up my phone and was staring at it the whole time the video was playing, because I have not seen Wolf Children yet, and I do not want any of it ruined for me. So I refused to watch that video. Like, I was so upset. I was like, this is not released yet. I don't want to see it. Like, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, let me tell you something. I have seen Wolf Children. When you do see it, you're going to be blown away by it.
Oh, man. No, Mamoru Hosoda is my favorite director. Like, not just, like, anime director, because I don't consider his movies anime movies. He has made two of my favorite movies ever, and I'm just so, like, in it, like, trying not to hurt somebody wanting to see Wolf Children. You know,
you should have come to the MIT screening back in March.
I know. I knew about it, and I was so upset that I could not go. I was so upset.
I got to meet Mamoru Hosoda. He autographed my book. He drew King Kazuma in it. It was awesome.
Oh, oh, nice.
Everybody was staring at me with pure jealousy after he did that. No lie.
Oh. But I should have gone, because like I could have gone after work, but I didn't want to like look around my laptop around town. It's like, I guess I could go home, but like, oh, I want to see it now. Must buy DVDs.
I actually chatted with the Funimation people the day afterwards just about Wolf Children, because I've been one of the biggest vocal supporters of that film, because I'm hoping that it does get a I hope it gets at least a limited run before it hits DVD, because it's definitely a film that everybody needs to see. It deserves everybody's attention.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I felt about the way with Girl Who Leapt Through Time and Summer Wars. Because
absolutely,
when I saw Girl Who Leapt Through Ties, like, my man tears just were like, they won't stop. They won't stop.
Man tears. Are they like teardrops in the shape of like biceps?
No, you just, like, when you cry your man tears, you keep your eyes open. Never once do you close your eyes and make, like, crying sounds. You just let them flow. Like,
what's his name in Fist of the North Star when he cries?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Kenshiro, man?
Yeah, it's like Kenshiro.
Yeah, oh, man. I don't think there's ever been any Wicked anime anything that hasn't had a Fist of the North Star reference. So we're very versed in our manime.
Yes, manime, I like that. But yeah,
there's some anime panel at Anime Boston.
You know what? I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I went to it, and all the animes that they mentioned in that panel, or like a lot of them, were not manimes. I was very, very upset with
that.
Okay,
so what has to qualify an anime to be a manime?
Well, okay, so the group that we worked with in, I hope it's okay that I'm mentioning another anime group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
These guys that we did a lot of work with in Florida, named Propeller Anime. The guy who runs it, named Kent, he runs his own manime panel down there. And man, they're into it. They know what they're talking about. You know, they built the man laws, they headbutt each other on stage. they go for it, and they have these man laws set up where they do that. That kind of explains what a manime is, where, you know, you don't like, a man doesn't cry unless his best friend or someone takes the hit. But you have to make sure never to keep you always keep your eyes open when you cry. If it's bad, kill it. You know, justice is the main, you know, prevailer of it. It's a justice-based anime that makes it manime.
Okay.
You have a gentleman main character, someone who is, you know, very, very gentlemanly and built for being a hero. They have a tragic backstory where, you know, something dear was taken from them, kind of a thing. And kind of like along those lines. But then they had, you know, like in the mix, like Gurren Lagann, where a lot of people are like, oh no, Gurren Lagann's manime. Gurren Lagann is not manime.
It's kind of halfsies.
Well, because the thing is, where it's a fantastic anime, Kamina says the whole way through, you know, you have to do this to be a man. Like, that doesn't, you know, make it manime, because he's still like, there, he kind of broke a lot of the laws.
Right, and if Kamina was in the show throughout the entire series, maybe he could have pushed it to be a manime, but spoiler alert, he doesn't quite make it halfway through.
Like,
if it was like the Kamina show, that would be like another different story.
Yeah,
right, so let me think of anime series, and let me see if they're manime.
Sure.
Blade of the Immortal.
Honestly, I have not seen that one.
I think it's got its manly elements to it. It's tough, it's bloody, it's gory.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about Berserk?
Yes, Berserk is a manime.
Yes.
Berserk is a manime.
Yes.
Right. Scarlett, how about you throw some suggestions? What do you think would be manime?
Harmageddon.
Did you say Harmageddon?
I think that's manime. Yes.
I've only seen that once, and it was I didn't see it the whole way through, but I'm not sure. The best ones that I can think of, the ones that are kind of like staples within the manime community, obviously Fist of the North Star,
mm-hmm.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mad Bull 34. Let's see.
Gogol 13.
The series, not the movie.
Yes.
Not the professional. But yes, the series follows that. And then here and there, there are some other ones. Toriko, because it's based. What was that?
I mentioned Guyver.
Y- I th- You know, I don't remember if that was in their list or not, but it might work. I haven't seen a lot of that either. But those are some pretty good staples as far as animes. Like, because it was kind of interesting. They threw some animes in there that were like magical girl animes, and you know, then there was Gurren Lagann. And I was just like, yeah. I'm sorry,
but if you throw magical girls in there, that automatically disqualifies it as anime. No matter how good the magical girl anime is,
yeah,
it can't be manime.
Well, because I felt like in the panel itself, they brought in the topic of manime, which kind of convoluted it, you know, it like watered it down, where it's like, no, there are specific animes that are manime. And you're kind of watering it down by being like, but this could be manime, but this could be manime, but this could be manime, you know?
Okay.
So, but other than that, like, I really enjoyed the panel. I enjoyed the presenters. They were really cool. I just thought, like, they were kind of off on a few points is all. But that's just my opinion, of course. All right.
Maybe you could get in contact with them next year and say, hey, maybe I could help put in my input to the whole manime concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, with the panels going on as well, there were a lot of special guests. We had the voice actors, we had directors, we had the musical guests. Why don't we start with you, Scarlett? Who was your favorite guest this year?
Ulrika. I was really excited about this one when Anime Boston made the announcement. And I don't usually do a lot of concerts at anime conventions, but my friend who works for Epic Cosplay Wigs, we ended up checking out her concert on Saturday night. It was going on at midnight, which I thought was a kind of a funky time slot. But that was a lot of fun, and I just really enjoyed it. Like, and she did the Ghost in the Shell theme a cappella.
And I just
took out my phone. I just took out my phone, called my best friend, and I just put it, and I was like, okay, you're going to have to play this on speaker at the party you're at right now, because they're, like, located in L.A. It's like, yeah, enjoy some Origa on the phone, but oh my god, it was totally amazing. I did go to Raj Ramaya's songwriting panel, which I thought was really interesting. One of my colleagues in Scarlet Rhapsody, she's going to do a write-up on that. So as far as guest are concerned, it was definitely Origa and Raj for me. I do like the other American voice actor talent they had there, but I usually see them like at almost every con that I go to. It's like, hey, I know you, like, sup. The other one that I thought was pretty standout, even though I kind of see him at almost every other year, was Shinichiro Watanabe, aka Namashine.
Oh my god.
We just randomly ran into him.
We ran into him like five times. And mm-hmm. Got to interview
him. He's not a hard guy to miss.
He isn't. And I feel like he comes to these conventions as like a cheerleader of sorts. He comes there to spread his happiness, joy, and wackiness, and hopes that it just rubs onto the con goers and helps them get through the entire experience.
Oh man, he's mm-hmm. awesome.
But I gotta say, the one that I was very happy to chat with, and she was the reason why I wanted to do Anime Boston again this year, was Kari Wahlgren.
As soon as they announced
her back, last July they announced that she was going to be there, I was like, okay, I'm there, because she was one of the voice actresses I wanted to talk to the most.
Yep, yep. I'm going to steal your answer, man. So.
She was just a real thrill to chat with, and as Andrew can attest, she was a blast to interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I spoke from the heart when I was talking about, if it wasn't for Fooly Cooly, this whole Boston Bash Brigade thing would not be in existence. Fooly Cooly, her performance as Haruko, got me into the Pillows, which got me into more Japanese music, which got me to do my own radio show at Salem State, which got me to writing for Electric Sisterhood, which then got me to have my own website with the Boston Bash Brigade. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have been there that day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I'm gonna say a lot of the same. She was, you know, the number one guest Jonathan and I were aiming to get, and we got her.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan's favorite anime is Fooly Cooly, and you know, which coincidentally leads to, you know, Kari Wahlgren being one of his favorite voice actresses ever. And I mean, she's been in a ton of things that we love. So, like, just the fact that we could talk to her and be in the same room with her, and like she actually like recognized that we were there, was just so fun. And you know, it really made our day when, you know, she walked into the room and she saw the shirts we were wearing, and she's like, you know, those are really cool shirts. How do I go about getting one?
Really?
And, yeah, and we were just like, really? Like, well, we don't have any for you right now, but maybe if we, so you know, of course, Jonathan's as I'm asking the questions, Jonathan's recording, and he's on the phone texting one of our friends who's outside, and he has her, you know, make a run to her hotel room, get a shirt for her before the press thing's over. So that was just amazing. She was just the loveliest lady. She was so nice. And
yep. And I loved how, like, because I invited her for in the future to have a guest on our podcast, yep. So not to talk about anime, but to talk about sports. And she was excited at that opportunity. I was like, I was expecting her to go, oh, that would be cool. She was like, oh, that would be so awesome.
I know. And if you heard me afterwards, when you asked her that question, you know, what sports teams do you like? She went through all the sports teams, but she didn't say hockey, which hockey was my favorite sport. So I was like, do you like hockey teams? Like, you know, so.
And then she was like, oh, I used to have season tickets to LA Kings, but that's when they sucked. And yeah, as soon as I gave up those season tickets, they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was
the Kings versus Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Is there a chance of that happening this year, Andrew? I forget if the Kings are still in there.
Yeah, it's Kings versus Red Wings and Pittsburgh versus Bruins right now.
Oh, okay. So I'm a little bit worried because I'm going to be going out to L.A. next week for E3. And if they know that I'm from Boston and the Bruins are facing the Kings, I might be fucked.
Just do it.
I mean, I don't have anything right now with Bruins, or any emblem stuff right there, but maybe I might get something just to see what happens. I might be refused service. Who knows? But
it was funny because it's during Masquerade when go on.
I was about to say that was great that the roadie was able to like let us know about the score.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, like he came out like just as soon as awards were being presented out in a full-on Bruins jersey, like, oh, they won.
Yeah, it's funny because that's not the first year he's done that. Because I didn't go to the Masquerade this year, but I went in 2008.
11.
I did. I actually don't think I went to the 2011.
Oh, because he also did that in 2011.
Oh, maybe no. It must have been 2011 then. Yeah.
Because this was during when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, that's right.
And everybody was asking about it. And I was I was sitting with a couple people who were like, shut up, we don't want to hear about the Bruins. You're in Boston. You're going to hear about the fucking Bruins, and you're going to like it.
Exactly. I love the Bruins. They're my favorite. So I'm going to let the roadie tell me about the Bruins.
So going back to Masquerade, were there any skits this year that really stood out for you? Because this year, like, my favorite had to have been one of the earlier ones with The Legend of Zelda and the search for the missing hairpiece or whatever it was, or the stolen hairpiece.
Yeah, that one took best of show. The other one I really liked was the Sugakura cosplayers. They were like they were the other group in the really poofy ball gowns, and it kind of had like this Harry Potter crossover type thing going on. And I also like the first Metal Gear group that went up. And I was surprised because I'm not used to seeing. Yeah, I'm not used to seeing Masquerade gets done live because I'm so used to seeing it all pre-recorded audio because they usually recommend you to do everything pre-recorded. And I really liked the fact that we were able to do it live.
that was nice that we could actually see people do it live instead of pre-recorded, because sometimes when you do it pre-recorded, the audio turns out to be really shitty, and it's sometimes hard to hear. There were a couple skits this year where I couldn't understand a single thing because how bad the quality of the recording was.
Okay, so it wasn't just me backstage, like, okay, I'm trying to get a sense of what's going on, but I can't hear you quite well, because I do know that AX is very anal about what the type of audio that gets in, and they want, like HD sound for their audio, and the nice thing about AX is it lets you, if you don't have that kind of capabilities on your computer, you can actually record your skit on site and it'll mix it for you, which is nice of them. Yes. But going back to Anime Boston Masquerade, the other skit that was really stand out, it sounds so cheesy, but someone decided to take all the snakes from Pokemon and set it to Snakes on a Stage, to that song that was on the Snakes on the Plane movie.
Yeah,
I thought
actually
that
cool.
was pretty clever.
Did you happen to go into the Artist Alley the next day and see the giant Arbok there?
Yes. I wanted
really
to give
cool.
it a good home. I didn't have $150 to pop, and because I, like most Bostonians in their 20s, I rely on the commuter rail and the T to get around. No way I was going to carry it back to my apartment, though I think it would be funny if I could have like a collection of like Pokemon snake heads on my
yes.
wall, like how some people have like hunting heads of deer. Like, hey, there's like Arbok I caught.
Yeah, the
That's
woman
brutal.
Who created it, she runs a site called Your Illusion. I interviewed her for our special Anime Boston video program, which should hopefully be up by next week. And she was telling me that she made a 14-foot Gyarados for MAGFest and auctioned it off. And it only took her 2 weeks to do it.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Skills.
Exactly. That was my reaction. I was actually more reacting more to the fact that it only took her 2 weeks to do it. She went, I have a lot of free time in my hands. But Andrew,
yes.
Wait, did you say you didn't go to Masquerade this year?
I didn't. I was, what was I doing?
Were you waiting in line for hentai dubbings?
No, I wasn't, because I was actually probably getting ready for my panel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which panel was that one?
That was Wicked Anime Presents the Hardcore Anime.
Okay.
It was an 18-plus panel, and it was basically it ran a little bit through the Masquerade. No, it didn't. The Masquerade, I think it was at the tail end of the Masquerade, because what happened was is our panel started right when Bad Anime Bad ended, and then it ended the right when hentai dubbing started.
Oh, so odds are you probably didn't get into the dubbings, did you?
No, we still did.
Oh, terrific. That thing was packed this year. I don't think I've ever seen hentai dubbings that packed in my life.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, because after our panel was over, the line was out in front of our door, and it hadn't started moving yet, so we could still jump in line even though our panel was over and the line had not gone into the room yet. So it was pretty perfect, and it was a blast.
Yeah. Were you able to attend it this year, Scarlett, or did you skip out on it?
No, I skipped out on it because after Masquerade, I had to get out of that fucking hoop skirt. It's such a pain in the ass to navigate around in a hoop skirt. I'm like, especially through the Prudential, because I had to like cross from the Heinz Convention Center all the way to the Marriott, and that was really interesting. So I just changed back into panty and grabbed some dinner. Thankfully, there was a Trader Joe's right across the street from the Heinz, so I stocked up on salad on Thursday. Had my salad. A friend of mine wanted me to do a Sailor Jupiter photo shoot at Copley Center, and maybe next year, because I usually like to do a lot of the 18-plus events, but I usually like to do it with like a group of people, so I don't feel awkward.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe next. Well, how about next year? Since we know when it's going to be, the whole what is it, March 22nd, March 24th.
Yep.
Why don't we say right here, right now, we'll plan to go into a couple of these Anti Plus panels together as a big, happy, funny group.
I like that idea, and I'm also down for like any upcoming cons that are on the way, like Kineticon. Another anime convention, they have a lot of 18-plus panels going on in the evening hours, and they had like some really awesome stuff this year. I mean, last year when I went.
That's the one in New Hampshire, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one up in Manchester. Just take take a bus up there. It takes about an hour. You're there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm contemplating doing an Nauticon convention this year. I was very close to doing Nauticon, but it's the same weekend as another gaming convention that I've already got press passes for. So
yeah.
I have to skip out on that one. But I'm still trying to find someone to go to Kineticon with, and I might maybe another anime con might be the other one I might try to go for.
Yeah, I've shown interest in going to another anime con. I don't know what it is. I've never been. So
it's a namesake. It's another anime con.
Yep. Oh yeah. No, it is.
But it has a lot of great nightlife. I really like it. There's a lot of people our age. I mean, it's not like nightlife for the sake of like, yeah, let's get wasted at a hotel for 3 days. But they actually have some really interesting programming that does feed into to the nightlife. Like again, the 18-plus panels. They have a room of AMVs, like fan parodies, and like you can just like panel hop through the whole thing, and it's a lot of fun. And okay. That's like one of the few cons where I can say like I can like just panel hop here and there. I'm like, yeah, you do have your homestuck people, but they're usually like outside away. You can ignore them if you want.
Good.
Why do I have a sense of deja vu right now as soon as you mentioned homestuck?
What do you mean?
I thought, didn't we talk about the homestuck people last time when we had DJ Ranma on the show?
Yeah, we did, but homestuck is kind of like the new staple to anime conventions. It's like what Narutards were like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now we just have these gray people.
Which is really weird because, you know, Homestuck's not even an anime, it's a webcomic. So, I mean, at least yeah. Naruto was an anime, but it's really too bad because I went to Greg's your fandom sucks panel Why Your Fandom Sucks panel on Sunday. And it actually got kind of heavy for a while because he was really explaining how kind of cruel we are to each other as fans. But Homestuck people really like to exclude. They really only do things within other Homestuck cosplayers. They don't really interact with anybody else.
They're like they're like those goth kids on South Park. They're
those... Oh my god! Well, we gotta burn down Hot Topic now, shall we? I love that scene in South Park. Burn down Hot Topic.
Like that's
I was tweeting
stop,
that for weeks. Hashtag. yeah, and I wanted to check out that panel. What other fandoms were they discussing about? Because I'm kind of morbidly curious.
They literally went through all fandoms that have crazy fans, basically, and they would just tell horror stories of certain fandoms. And it wasn't like a bashing panel. Like we weren't there to bash each other. It was just literally like, yeah, that went too far. Yeah, that went too far. Yeah, that went too far. Like, there was somebody went up and told a story about Homestuck cosplayers that were in the middle of a restaurant, and they all had a bucket. And I guess it's part of the webcomic where they have they spit into a bucket, and that's like some sort of metaphor or weird simile for reproduction in the webcomic. But
the
like
fuck?
it was a story about like all these Homestuck cosplayers sitting in the middle of a restaurant just spitting into a bucket. I was like, no, like you're in public. Like don't
I'm
do like, that.
I'm now gagging now because that's how bad the image is in my head.
So that was...
I'm just thinking twice about making that lemonade.
Oh god, that's bad. That is just terrible. Not even the Narutards were that. I'm speechless right now. That's how grossed out I am after hearing that.
Well, I mean,
at least with Naruto, it's like you said, Andrew, it's an anime. But Naruto was also even though as overpopular as it was, it still was a fun anime to watch. Like, I'm not a huge Naruto fan, but I'll check it out every now and then. I love the Rock Lee short anime these like Rock Lee and friends. Yeah. That's fun, but
I really like the characters of Naruto. I like the characters they built.
I love the video games. I think that video games managed to outdo a lot of the stuff that the anime tries to pull off.
Oh heck yeah, those are wicked fun.
The Ultimate Ninja, was it Ultimate Ninja Storm?
Yeah, Ninja Storm 3 just came out.
When those come out, they blow me away, not just from gameplay aspects, but graphically, too. Though that's one of the only anime series out there that I've seen manage to perfectly capture the anime look in a video game.
Yeah, well, because I'm not caught up on my Naruto. Like, I'm not all the way caught up, and I don't really know what goes on 100% of the time. But I have my specific characters that I know I like. Like, I know I like this character, I know I like this character, I know I like this character. So that game, you know, gives you the choice of, here are all the hundreds of characters of Naruto characters, play as your favorite ones.
And that's fantastic that they're able to do that. It shows how much they know that the fandom means to them, because it's like, all right, in Dragon Ball Z, you're going to only be able to play as Goku or Vegeta or Piccolo or Krillin, and that's it. Or as Naruto, you have a favorite character?
Yep.
You can play as your favorite character. Is it the random dude in the background? You can play as the random dude in the background, and he has the best moves out of everybody.
Personally, my favorite thing to come out of the Naruto video game was the Killer Bee rap.
The Killer Bee rap?
Just look it up on YouTube. Like, even when it's dub, it's hilarious. So there's this character named Killer Bee. He does, like, a rap thing for, like, the video game, and they're done up in segments, and they usually happen in between fights if you're going on story mode. It's hilarious, but you gotta check it out. But along the lines of video games with like a multitude of characters, that's how I got my younger brother, also named Andrew, into Bleach. Like, I had the Bleach video game for the DS, and then that's how I got him to start watching Bleach. And he's like, yeah, I like so and so from this brigade, and blah blah blah. So many characters from Bleach.
That's nice.
And that was before Aron Carr time.
Now, when I'm
we're
thinking
still back in Soul Society.
Is this the Killer Bee character kind of reminiscent of like Matthew Patel from Scott Pilgrim, who would do the whole singing and rapping in between the fights?
I guess so. Yeah, that sounds like an accurate description.
Mm-hmm. I know Scott Pilgrim's not anime, but it's an awesome comic, just to mention.
Yeah, it is.
So we've talked a lot about stuff that we really liked about Anime Boston. Was there anything this year that just didn't mesh well with what was happening?
Let's see.
I can't really think of this off the top of my head, because I had a great time, but I know there's something if I just like look back in my notes.
Yeah, I will certainly say that this was probably my favorite year since my first time going to my first year of Anime Boston in 2008. That will always be my favorite. So I think I will say that this has definitely been my favorite year since then.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like this was a huge improvement over the past couple years, with the exception of 2012, since I wasn't there.
Yep.
And I feel like that they're really showcasing a lot of better, like, better panels and better guests. I remember, what was it, in 2010, where they had the only musical guest they had was the Video Game Orchestra, and that had nothing to do with anime whatsoever. Like, all the guests that they had, too, they didn't really have much to do with anime, with the exception of a couple of the voice actors. So, to actually finally see Anime Boston inviting people, not just from America, but also from Japan, that have a lot to do with anime, especially seeing, like, Nabe-shin and the director of Sword Art Online. And
well, they had a lot of guests this year. They've, like, packed on the guests this year.
I was impressed. And I am very curious to see what they're going to be able to pull next year, which we'll get to that topic. But the one thing that I can think of that I really did not enjoy this year, and this has absolutely nothing to do with Anime Boston. It was at the hotel I was staying at. It was at the Sheraton. They decided that was the weekend they were going to fix a couple of the elevators. So, like, two of the elevators were shut down throughout the entire convention. and there was like a 50-60 minute wait from time to time for an elevator to come either bring you up or bring you down.
Oh my gosh.
And let me tell you this experience. And this happened right after I saw you, Scarlett, when you were doing the whole painting and stocking photo shoot. Because I had like ran up from the first floor to the third floor to meet up with you up there. And then I ran back down to the hotel to get up to the elevator. And the line went all around. There was like 100 people waiting for the elevator. I'm not exaggerating. That's how many people were there. So I decided to do the most stupid thing I could ever think of. I ran up 24 flights of stairs to get to my room.
Damn. Heck yeah. Good on ya.
It was the worst thing I've ever done at a convention. And I kid you not, as soon as I got to the room, I pressed record. And I just basically spewed for like 5 minutes straight how ridiculous the elevator experience was. Just how pissed off I was at the situation. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the day one podcast I recorded with Issues Guy and JC Riley. I still can't believe I did that.
That's hilarious.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
I guess I would have to agree with you. The worst part of my weekend would also have to be a part of the hotel that I stayed at, where we stay at the Marriott every single year. I just love the Marriott. Their service is awesome. Now, where they really bailed on their service was, you know, on Sunday, people check out at noon, and you're able to like, check your bags because you can't keep them in your room, obviously.
Right.
I mean, we're still paying guests. You know, people who go to Anime Boston, we still pay to stay there. We should still have the same service as everybody. But because we were wearing Anime Boston badges, they segregated us to these other rooms where they had like Conference Hall 1 and Conference Hall 2 within the Marriott. And they literally had us drop all of our luggage, all of our equipment, all of our, you know, merchandise bought at Anime Boston in these empty, unguarded rooms.
Without a tag?
Yeah, with nothing.
Yeah, I remember that.
We
Holy
literally
shit.
Yeah, and we were
I
and
remember
the,
that. Oh my god.
And the guy I was like, dude, you know, we paid for this hotel. We have the same service as everybody. Like, if we didn't say, hey, we're with Anime Boston, you wouldn't have even blinked an eye at us, you know, going to the bag check. And I said, is there anybody going to be here guarding our bags? And he said, oh, I'll be walking around.
Yeah, walking around is not guarding.
Yeah,
guarding means you stand there and make sure no one goes in and out and steals shit.
Yeah, exactly. It was absolutely insane. Like, I could not believe that they even fathomed doing that. Like, seriously.
What assholes?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, dude, like, that's not right. Like, you cannot, like, leave, like, especially because we were pressed. We had, you know, over $1,000 worth of equipment within those bags. So,
yeah. That's another reason why you need a fucking guard, because there's a lot of people that come to these conventions with a lot of expensive shit.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm usually the first person out of the hotel room who likes to get their stuff checked in the morning so I can avoid the elevator rush.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because in the words of someone I ran into who was working for a hotel, like, yeah, expect about 700 people checking out on Sunday. Like, okay. So I took my stuff down to the where they told me to drop off my stuff. I'm like, wait, how come you guys aren't giving me a claim ticket? This is kind of weird.
Yes.
But
we're going to secretly sell all your stuff.
I actually had a worse experience a couple years ago when I stayed at the Wilshire Grand at Anime Expo. Mm-hmm. So instead of conference rooms where they place our bags, they place them in what look like unused kitchen spaces with the tiles and all. This is like the type of place where out of a horror movie, where bags go to die, where murder victims take... Yeah, like I was expecting to see like a meat locker type thing here and someone to wear like a pig mask to like just butcher innocent victims in the latest torture porn movie. It kind of had that vibe to it. And to make matters worse, a friend of mine lost her wig in that situation. Like, oh boy. But they're tearing that down, that hotel now, so no one has to worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. You seem to have a lot against Anime Expo from what I've been reading from your posts on Facebook this year. And I do understand why.
I mean, there's just some things. There's just a couple of things. I mean, that's been happening this year. I'm still going to give it a benefit of doubt. Like, the con hasn't happened yet. Who knows? Maybe they'll wow me. But it's just all wait and see. Because I feel like the anger, like some of my compatriots have, the people who've been long going to Anime Expo, and Anime Expo is like my home con, and going back to Anime Boston, I've enjoyed it so much this year, I'm ready to just embrace and just call it my home con now that I moved out here, and I just loved a lot of Anime Boston. Like, the only problems I can think off the top of my head that I had were not con-related, walking around in a hoop skirt, not fun. One cosplay group kind of falling apart because we were supposed to have, like, a whole group of Eternal Sailor Moon characters, but that didn't pan out. But, you know, it still had fun. I mean, it rained a couple of times during the weekend. We had some torrential rain, but you can't control the weather. That's not Anime Boston's problem.
Yeah. Well, I was at the Sheraton, so I didn't have to go outside at all, so, I don't have to complain about that.
Yeah, exactly. Me neither.
I was actually thinking about getting a hotel. There's this bed and breakfast in, not like a block away from the convention off Newbury Street.
Yes, I was hearing about this place.
If you book for two nights, it's about the same cost as one night at the Marriott, and you have your own kitchenette, you have a microwave, and you actually have a refrigerator. And it's still the same size as a standard hotel room. The only drawback is there's no elevator. So if you have, a lot of stuff to carry, it's kind of a pain in the ass lugging it up a couple floors up. But it's like a four-story bed and breakfast place. My friend did it a couple years ago, and she recommended it, but I ended up just staying at the Marriott because a friend needed more people in the room. It's like, okay, I'll chip in. Paid about $256 for four girls in one room for three nights, which isn't too bad for Marriott prices, but
yeah, that isn't too bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. I feel like this year, I didn't see a single flaw with Anime Boston. I think maybe the only one that I could think of is during the opening ceremonies when half of the guests didn't show up.
And as I said when we were there, I was like, everybody whose name was Chris did not show up. So, and then Raj didn't show up for about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes or so, and I was like, is his middle name Chris? Like, what's up with that?
That's hilarious. I only caught the tail end of opening ceremonies because a few friends wanted to check out the Artist Alley. I mean, I'll say this. Artist Alley and the Dealer's Hall, they had a lot of cool things. I'm not usually a big spender in the Dealer's Hall, but I'm a huge – it's weird because a lot of my friends are into Lolita, so they'll, gravitate towards the H. Naoto booth and, grab some Lolita punk – visual K type clothes.
Yep.
And then I start gravitating towards the figures.
Oh, me too.
And then oh my God, I'm having my guy moment, my hetero guy moment at cons, because I used to be the one who looks at Lolita stuff, cosplay accessories, anything fashion related, while my guy friends go off and look at figures. So I'm having my hetero guy moment. I mean, go off and look at figures while you ladies check things out. But
yeah.
I took home a couple of Idolmaster figures with me. One Rin Fates Day Night, Yukiko from Persona 4, and I also got a couple figures for a couple friends of mine in L.A.
I was so mad because I was looking throughout the entire dealer's room and even the artist alley. I was trying to find a plushie of Kyubey from Madoka. Nobody had one. I searched every square inch of that place. Nobody. So I left those little areas with a tear going down the place.
I'm pretty sure if you like an ask around, someone can commission you a personalized Cube plushie. But I'll keep my eyes and ears open at Anime Expo, and I'll let you know if I see a Cube that you can take home and feed and clean up after.
Thank goodness I'm a guy, because then I don't have to worry about Cube asking if I want to become a magical girl.
Stranger things have happened. Three lights from Sailor Moon, guys yep. turned into girls. Yes. Stranger things have happened.
That is very true. But mm-hmm. I am also very happy that Artist Alley was in a much bigger place than it was in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember going to the third floor it used to be on. Yep. And it was such a cramped place. It would take you like 10 minutes to go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But fortunately, they were able to put it into the spot where they used to have like all the gaming stuff. Yep. And it was such a wonderful experience to actually be able to move without any sort of difficulty whatsoever.
It was an incredible move that they actually switched the game. The gaming room had a ton of space upstairs where Artist Alley used to be, and Artist Alley had a ton of space downstairs where that used to be. It was absolutely incredible.
It's like, perhaps if we moved these two rooms around, there'd be enough room for each person that are specifically interested in going there without any complaints. Yeah. Now, hey, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
Now, the major complaint that I've been hearing myself, though, from going through the forums, looking at other artists, seeing the feedback from Artist Alley and everything like that, is they're saying that if you were on the side of the wall at Artist Alley that was up against the main events hall, whenever there was a main event going on, there must have been a speaker there on the side of the wall because it would drown out all the patrons in Artist Alley so they couldn't hear them. And actually, artists said that they lost some business because they couldn't hear each other right in front of each other's faces because the music was booming through the wall.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't see that happening at all because I went on Sunday morning, and maybe if it was during like the concerts or something, that's when they were having some issues.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's another thing, too. They kept it open for a lot longer than it did in the last couple of years.
Yep.
I remember it being, they shut it down the same time as the regular merch area, like at 6 or 7. Yeah. They kept it open until like 11 o'clock. That was great to see them do that.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing how late they actually stayed open. Because I actually had a friend working Artist Alley this year. This was her first year going Artist Alley. And she, you know, she said she was tired because they had, you know, they open up at, 9 or 10 whenever the con opens up. And then they go till 10:30 at night. So it's like a 12-hour day. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So out of everything that has happened at Anime Boston this year, what had to have been your favorite thing that you were part of or that you bore witness to?
I will certainly have the cop-out answer for this, and I would have to certainly say that it was definitely my panel. Or, you know, Jonathan and I doing the panel, because we had the biggest blast. Like, I've never had so much fun at Anime Boston than running my own panel. We had an 18-plus panel, and we had a lot of people come in. We filled our room. We actually had to turn people away. They had to turn people away from our room because it would have been a fire hazard if they had any more people in there. And you know, people laughed at our jokes. People were engaged in our content. We kept it interesting the whole time. We made sure the audience felt like they were part of the show, so we were talking to them the whole time. People came up after the show and were asking us questions. They wanted to know a little bit more, and they had some suggestions for us for next year. And then the Anime Boston staff, which I have to say, Jonathan and I scored probably the coolest panel engineers we could have ever gotten, because they were the nicest people ever, and they were really. She said that the person who was there before them didn't want to do our panel, or didn't necessarily want to do our panel, and she was like, "I'll do it. That sounds like an awesome panel." And so after the panel was over, they said that we aced it. We did a really, really good job with our panel. Like, everybody was engaged. We were entertaining. We did everything. And so Jonathan and I are kind of hoping that next year when we do it, we're going to get a bigger room. because we did so fairly well.
That is excellent, dude. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was great. We had a blast. Like, especially because we got one of I don't really want to call it a chump room, but that's kind of what it felt like, because it was a long thin room. It was room 202, so it was long and thin. So on the other side of the room, if we had a video panel, so if you're on the other side of the room, it was really hard to see the TV screen. So hopefully now that they know that we're actually capable of doing this, that they'll actually give us a really nice room. Which, by the way, Jonathan and I are working on the highlights video from our panel. Obviously, because it's 18 plus, we can't show the whole thing. We'll have to cut and paste it. But we have an audience reaction camera, a me and Jonathan camera, and we're going to put in some of the clips from our show.
Did you have a couple of hentai moments in there or something?
No hentai moments. It was strictly anime. With Wicked Anime, we're trying to kind of stray away from hentai. We do talk about it every once in a while, which is pretty funny. But yeah, this one was strictly hardcore anime, the bloodiest, most violent things in anime. But as I said, some of the scenes we got are pretty out there, and they get a little rapey at times.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff you need to avoid posting on YouTube, because it takes one flag to ruin everything.
The reactions will be there. The video, however, will not be there.
Okay.
That was a cop out. My cop out answer for having a blast, because I got to be honest, that it really was my highlight of the weekend. Though I will say, in the opening ceremonies when they announced Auriga, that she was there and that she came out on stage and she sang the Ghost in the Shell theme song on stage, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. This is awesome. Yeah,
same here. I was surprised that she did that too.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved that. I loved it.
All right. Scarlett, how about you?
Oh, wow. It's so hard to pinpoint just one. So I'm going to go with my top three because I like prime numbers. Number three, I really like how Anime Boston has a running theme to it. It's kind of almost like a running plot to it, because if you go to the cosplay events, you'll see random ghosts and yokai run around. But just to backtrack a little bit, Anime Boston had a yokai Japanese folktales kind of theme to it. So throughout the convention, you'll see decorations of various Japanese ghosts, like the Karakasa umbrella ghost. Yep. And if you go on the third floor, you'll see a TV with a well in it, referential to the Ring movies.
Yep, that's the one that Tom Whalen crawled out of.
Ah, oh, nice.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. That was really funny.
Mm-hmm. I just like how Anime Boston is just so into really integrating theme. It really makes the con experience unique year after year. And I can only wonder what theme they'll have next year. And I'm really excited about it. And people also get into it too. In Cosplay Chess, they had the living versus the dead kind of theme to it. So one of my friends cosplayed as Ienma from Hellgirl, which is one of my all-time favorite manga series.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's pretty good.
One of my all-time favorites. And I kind of want to do Cosplay Chess now. But you got to tell me what your theme is so I can sort of figure this all out. So I really like that creativity on Anime Boston's part. The second one, I'm going to piggyback off Andrew on this, were the panels that I hosted. It's not necessarily a cop-out. It's more the fact that I just really appreciated the fact that Anime Boston gave me the opportunity to do a Sailor Moon panel, to do a I Heart the 90s panel. And I was just amazed by the whole turnover. Sailor Moon had standing room only. You had people sitting in the aisles. And I was running late to that panel because I got lost in the Heinz. I did not know where room 309 was. So I thought it was I knew it was on the third floor. So I went to panels A where I thought it was, because it's a huge room. I know Sailor Moon fandom is pretty huge. And then I'm just sitting there in the front row waiting for my time to set up. It's the Kodansha panel. And I'm just motioning like a crazy woman to detect people. Guys, panel. And then I got this call from my co-presenter. Shouts to Kelly and Saki, who volunteered to be co-presenters on Moon Prism Pop-Tarts. And she's like, where are you? I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong panel. Let me get there. So imagine me. I'm just running in my ball gown that I'm wearing for Masquerade. like on the verge of having a panic attack.
Oh
and
no!
Then, like, okay, it's room 309. Where are you? Sometimes like those rooms are just weirdly labeled. Sometimes it doesn't have like the room number clearly right in front.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you open. I open the doors. Like, there's people sitting in front of the door. Like, wait, this is a fire hazard. But you know what? Got to use that adrenaline somehow, and that's how I open up the panel. Like, okay, guys, it wouldn't be a Sailor Moon panel if the panelist wasn't running late, right? Like, you got to make the best of a really crappy situation, but that's when I tell my kids. And when I did the I Heart the 90s Shoujo panel, I had a lot of people coming up to me after the panel, like, thank you so much for mentioning Fushigi Yugi at this convention, because I didn't think that people would remember this anime. And then I'm like, oh my god, thank you so much. And then I had people telling me, like, yeah, your I Heart the 90s Shoujo edition and Sailor Moon panel really made the con for me. Like, oh my god, thank you. I mean, see, this is why I really like running panels, is because I want to sort of give back to the anime community. I want to have something fun for that the audience can feel that they paid their money's worth for, and I'm going to do a damn good job of it. So any opportunity I have to be a panelist, I just take it in, and I just love it. And the third thing I really liked about Anime Boston, oh, well, I just love the fact that there's just a lot of cosplay events sprinkled throughout the weekend, because I'm so used to Masquerade just being like the be-all, end-all event of all cosplay throughout the weekend. But no, Anime Boston, you got cosplay dating game, cosplay cosplay family feud. You have the After Hours edition of the cosplay dating game, which I actually attended because my friend who's stalking was actually in it. You have cosplay chess, which I really wanted to see because they actually did that on the main stage. And, of course, you have Masquerade. Like, there's just a lot of different events that cosplayers can engage in, and you don't necessarily have to make your own costume for all of these. My friend was stalking. She bought her stalking cosplay. But it's ways that you can have fun at the convention in cosplay, because time and again I'll see cosplayers, and it's really sad when I see them post like, yeah, I'm not gonna buy a badge, I'm just gonna hang out. Like, what's the fun of that?
Yeah,
and
I agree. Have
like events that really invite cosplayers to be active and to have fun while they're in costume, and that opportunity to like really be in character in front of an audience that doesn't necessarily have to be a competitive space. That's a lot of fun, and that's one of the reasons why Anime Boston has like my support as long as I'm living out here in New England, which I intend to be for a very long time.
Yeah. That's great to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's see. For my top three, I guess, you know, number three had to have been meeting Nabe Shane, interviewing him. He was such a character, and it's such a thrill to actually chat with, because he has that sort of energy that you would only see in cartoons, but he manages to do it in person. He is like a living, breathing cartoon character.
Uh-huh.
And just how honest he was, talking about his recent heart attack and able to joke about it in such a wonderful way. I wouldn't mind seeing Nabishin come back every year to bring his happiness and cheer to every congoer at Anime Boston, because he is a gas to be around.
That's awesome.
Number two definitely had to be Kari Wahlgren, because that was a great interview. She was very personable. She was very open to talking about the industry and her past works and even works outside of the anime industry. And then for number one, it's a tie, but they're related. We got to interview Tom Whalen. It was just us from B3 and a couple other sites from Under the Electric Sisterhood and him. And we were just going back and forth for like 35 minutes. And he's one of the most personable people I've ever met at an anime convention. And then the other thing, of course, that he does for 18-plus fans, the hentai dubbing.
Hentai dubbing, yep.
Hentai dubbings every year has just showed how talented some of these people are when they come up the stage and pull some of the most funniest lines. I mean, all you gotta say is Sonic and Mr. Satan.
Oh my gosh.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
That was like, and I'm almost positive that the guy who played Hercule this year, the guy that was them, was the same guy last year in 2012 who played Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, there was another guy there that was dressed as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, really?
Was
it the same guy?
No, I remember because I saw him, and then on the other side of the convention, there was Macho Man Randy Savage like a couple minutes later. So unless he is very quick at costume changes, I think there's the two very different people.
Dude, because they were both awesome. Yeah, and oh, man, that was... I was actually really surprised because you know, I think that the guy who cosplayed Hercule, he would have I think that I'm saying that right. He would have taken it had he got the male part, but like Sonic got the male part of it, and Hercule got the female part. And I think if it was Switch, Hercule very well may have won that.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Although it was still funny.
It was hilarious.
Oh, actually, that one felt pretty good.
Yeah, he was funny. He was hilarious.
Yeah. So my final question about Anime Boston is, what next? What do you think Anime Boston 2014 should bring to the table?
Oh my gosh.
I want to know what they're going to theme up for next year, because like I can only guess at this point in time what's going to be like. They always come up with something creative, because I was actually looking at some of their previous year themes, like the year before. They had like a post-apocalyptic type thing going on.
Yeah, because it was 2012 and the end of the world was quote-unquote coming.
And the year before
they had the detective, they had music. Mm-hmm. What is there really left for themes? That's the question.
Sports?
No, they actually did they did sports.
Really? Okay. What year?
I think that was 2004.
Hmm.
That would make sense. Yeah. I think the Patriots were in playoffs during that year, too.
Yeah. And the Red Sox were going to win the World Series that year, too, so. No, that would have been 2005.
Then. Oh, yeah, you might be right.
Because, like, all I'm thinking right now, because of my biases, to maybe have, like, a magical girl theme, get Naoko Takeuchi as guest of honor.
Well, and, like, considering that they're supposed to be premiering the new Sailor Moon either 2013 or 2014, that might be a smart choice.
That is really true.
Bi-kun can be a tuxedo mask-like character, and A-chan can be... magical girl.
Be all in the frilly outfit and like some sort of amalgam of Sailor Moon, Cardcaptor Sakura, Madoka, like that whole thing going on.
And then Rhodey could be one of like the villains or something.
No, he needs to be a magical girl mascot. He needs to have like a cute, like floppy cubby ears, a cat tail. Fuck it, he just has to be Gajinga Cabot and look cute.
All right. Well, then going off of my own biases, I'm a huge cyberpunk nerd. I love everything cyberpunk. So with the new Ghost in the Shell OVA coming out, hopefully by that time it'll be coming out in English as well. Maybe they'll have a Ghost in the Shell cyberpunk theme going on, and we can have an awesome cyberpunky Anime Boston.
That would also open up some opportunities to also bring some Ghost in the Shell voice actors over, because I'd love to have Richard Epcar come out to New England. His son is actually based in New York.
He has been there. He was there 2011.
Yeah, cool. And we actually interviewed Richard Epcar when he was at Florida Anime Experience. Dude, the guy was so cool. He was so nice, and we loved talking to him. He was awesome. That guy has some personality.
Oh, he's great.
I just want to ask him about Bubble 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 Bo. That's all I want to ask him about.
I've interviewed the guy twice before. I just want to do a full-on interview where Richard Epcar and I just go back and forth about 007.
Nice.
Because he's a huge fan of Bond. And at PMX a couple of years ago, they did a roast of Richard Epcar. But going on the Ghost in the Shell sort of theme, I'd also love to see Mary Elizabeth McGlynn come back.
Yes.
I love her as a voice actress. Her husband, he was in the Team America movie. I forget his name, but I know he's a famous voice actor that's more active with, like, union type of voice roles. But
did he play, like, the main, like the main leader of Team America? The
yes.
Sort of.
Had to wipe his mouth out during one scene, I think.
Oh, that. I'm trying to think. Was he?
Spotswood?
He was the lead. Spotswood. Darren Norris.
Yes, Spotswood. Yes. Because I remember he was in Team America. I just think it's one of those characters. But yeah, Cyberpunk theme might be cool. Like I can think of like a couple of great decorations that you can have there, and hopefully if things work out, that all would also be a great theme for if they ever bring back the rave. You know, yeah. It just kind of felt weird because it just feels kind of weird with an anime con not having like your Saturday night, Friday night rave kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you can blame the assholes that brought the drugs last year.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I really didn't miss it, nor did I really notice it was gone because I've never been. Like, I just don't go to the rave. And it was kind of interesting because generally the rave crowd, like, they go to do the rave. And, like, I really, like, I feel like that it kind of, it takes away from the anime experience by having informal dance. Now, granted, you get people like, Greg, like, leading all the other artists, and the artists get to do something really, really fun. But I kind of think the patrons of the dance almost ruin it a little bit for everybody else.
I agree. And yeah. I'm speaking for someone who haven't been to any of the raves, but I've been to a Deadmau5 concert, and those ravers can annoy the piss out of you.
Well, and the thing is, too, one of my hobbies is, like I said, I'm really into cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is like some of my favorite music ever, EBM music, and I just kind of feel like, oh, that's not real industrial music. Like, if you want to dance to industrial music, you gotta know what it is, you know, kind of a thing.
That's right, that's like Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails is industrial music.
Well, I listen to a lot of bands that a lot of people don't know about, so not even Nine Inch Nails. I listen to, you know, like things like Grendel and Aesthetic Perfection. A lot of really, really small, like smaller bands, but kind of big. I don't know. A lot of outside of the United States kind of things too.
Well, going off of your whole cyberpunk idea thing.
Okay.
Why not cyberpunk versus steampunk? Because that's always been a massive,
like that would be awesome.
Because I have
so
a lot of friends, like especially like the Vagabonds, who host a couple panels this past year. If we could do a steampunk and cyberpunk theme anime Boston for 2014, and that could be the battle, that could be the cosplay chess theme, cyberpunk versus steampunk. I think that would be an amazing con experience, and seeing those two worlds actually clashing for once.
Yeah, I would totally gear myself in all my cyberpunk stuff. I got like a vest and gas mask and goggles. Like, I got all my cyberpunk stuff ready to go.
Pretty, pretty cool. So let's see, themes, magical girl. Let's see. So if we could combine steampunk, cyberpunk, magical girl themes in here. I think people's faces would be melted off after this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my gosh.
But we won't know until probably September when we hear what the idea for theme is going to be. So
yeah,
let's cross
not.
Our fingers and hope that Anime Boston 2014 will be as fun as this past year's.
Heck yeah.
So, I believe that reaches to our conclusion of today's episode. So, for the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. I am on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. And you can also follow us on our Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
All right, so this is Scarlett checking in from Scarlett Rhapsody. You can follow us on Twitter at Scarlett Rhapsody. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Scarlett www.rapsy.media. We'd love to have some more followers. We're really close to 500. Let's make this happen. And you can also find us on the web at scarlet-rapsy.com. Our Anime Boston report will be up within the next couple of days. And definitely check us out on iTunes. I also record a anime conventions podcast called Zero Hour. And we'll be recording our Anime Boston and FanimeCon coverage this weekend.
All right, and this is Andrew from Wicked Anime. If you want to join in on this conversation with us, you can go to wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com, all one word. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/wickedanime. You can find us on nerdyshow.com, where you can find our podcast and our review videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. Finally, on YouTube.com, you can find Jonathan and I's review videos of animes and other fun things at YouTube.com/WickedAnimeReviews, where you can do that. Facebook.com, we have great upcoming events, always updating. We'll let you know about Besom and all of our fun podcast going ons. And finally, keep a watch out on YouTube for our panel highlights video, where you can check out some of our clips from the hardcore anime panel.
Scarlett, Andrew, thank you again so much for joining us here on the Boston Bears Brigade. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you, we don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. 'Cause I love